Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Glorious Appearing of Our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be reading from Paul's letter to Titus. Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age or world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to note in verse 13 that the word that has been translated and, A-N-D, in the Greek, it is the word kai, K-A-I, and so it means also. And it is a reference to the Savior, Jesus Christ, as the great God. Verse 13, we have a very important word at the beginning of the sentence, prosdekomenoi. And this is a very important word for us too, because this word provides for us an ethos, a compelling ethos, while we live in this present, as Paul calls it in his letter to the Galatians, this present evil age. God hath rescued us from this present evil age. Do not be overcome or seduced by the belief that we live in a closed system, that the world that we currently live in, or its philosophy of history, is a closed system, as if there's no exogenous or outside reality. This is we live within a particular view of history. One that as soon as it has come about, or as soon as it is set in place, collapses. It collapses of its own hubris or its own pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Or in the Hebrew, pride faces, or arrogance faces destruction, and a haughty spirit. We live in a time in which this is being seen on a daily basis. We live in a time in which a particular and narrow view of history is being force-fed to the majority of people, as it were. And we have to be aware of what is going on in our environment. I am speaking to the believing community. The believing community must understand that we serve a God who cannot lie. This is provided for us, or this truth, this doctrinal truth, is given to us in Titus chapter 1. In Titus 1, verse 2, we read, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. This is one of the most important verses to me when I consider the type of community for believers, with its diversities, with its different beliefs in psychotherapy over the scripture, with its theological and humanistic mandates that have been set in place over and above the Word of God, with its view that the Word of God could somehow be ignored or not practiced, that is, practice of love, and yet say that we are of Christ, or we are followers, or we've fallen fully after Christ. James writes, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So, and John says that if we do not love, and we hate our brethren, and notice he says our brethren, then we are murderers. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So there's form without content. And the community has said that love is exclusive to our racial identity. And so the ethos of the Word of God is connected to a false belief. It is an idolatrous belief. It is a belief that sent or that destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. It is a belief that destroyed the southern kingdom of Judah 150 years later. That is idolatry. The Hebrew word for idolatry literally means nothingness. It literally means nothingness. And so the failure to practice love as Jesus has told his, mandated his church. He said we are to love one another. And it is that expressed as an imperative command by Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. And we read in John 3:16 that for God so loved agape the world that he gave. Agape is a noun of action. Faith, the word faith, pistis, in the New Testament is also a noun of action. Grace, charis, charis, is also a noun of action. And when we think about this, we are moved to a particular amount of action in something compelling and different. And there are very few, in the Greek New Testament, there are very few passive verbs. One passive verb of particular significance Paul writes about in his letter to the Ephesians is be filled with spirit. Be filled with spirit. In which a passive verb here, the passive verb means to allow oneself to be acted upon by another. This is the spirit of the New Testament. Love, a noun of action. Faith, a noun of action. Grace, a noun of action. We are to love one another. Failure to practice love as Jesus has commanded us to should tell us something about who we are and whose we are. Paul said, examine your faith to see whether you be in the faith. throughout the writings of the New Testament, the individual is enjoined to examine himself. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, the individual is enjoined to examine himself. In Revelation, we have, at the beginning of the book of Revelation, we have the glorified Christ in his high priestly role. And it is he who sends the seven letters to Asia Minor, to the churches in Asia Minor. It is he whose eyes are as a flame of fire. Nothing escapes him. Nothing escapes him at all. Peter writes that judgment begins at the house of God. One looks forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, back to Titus 2, verse 12, we read, verse 11 reads, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying the ungodliness or lack of reverence toward God, and the worldly lusts," epithemia is here, "or radiance for all pleasure, should live soberly," that is, with a sound mind. We should live of sound mind, righteously, with the right attitude toward God, and godly. So we have three important adverbs: soberly, righteously, and godly. In the present ion, or ione, looking for us, dekomenoi, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice Paul's connection between ethical conduct and its connection with a powerful doctrinal foundation. No hidden sins, no secret sins. Please read Psalm 90. Our secret sins are known by God. They're in the light of countenance. There are no secret sins. Secret sins down here among us are open scandals in heaven. There are no secret sins. And so this duality, this facade of this pious facade on the outside, and while living with spiritual corruption within, as in the book of Dorian Gray, the picture of Dorian Gray. This is a book that I always use when I teach about flesh. We, as believing ones, should live one life, which means we crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts. They that are Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. Crucify once and for all, aorist. To remain crucified, perfect tense. It is an ethical imperative, the ethical. Today we look forward to the second coming of Christ, to the glorious appearing of the Savior, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we release the works of the flesh in our own hearts, we begin to practice the love of Christ, and we are filled with the Spirit, then we can anticipate in a wonderful way the second coming of our Lord, his glorious appearing, in which he shall come to be glorified with his holy angels. There is a wonderful and powerful view of history that is exogenous, that extends outside of the false monistic worldview that is being forced set. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. I'll speak with you next time on the Matacoffs.